and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and I am joined today by good friend Trey Watkins, as usual, but back on the program for the first time in a little while. It is That Boy Wolf, the king of Saints Twitter, as elected by Saints Twitter, also known as Discount Bin Rick Ross. It's Ryan Hinton. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good, man. Good. Just happy to be on with you guys, man. And yeah, it's been crazy, kind of a crazy off season. So it's good to catch up and just see what the hell's going on.
Yeah, for sure. We wanted to have Ryan on today because of all the crazy news in the NFC South over the past week. As far as outside news, outside of this Sam Darnold trade, which we'll get to here in a second, there hasn't been much. Everything has been pretty quiet. So I wanted to talk mainly about the NFC South today. Before we do that, I'll just ask you, Trey, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing good. I just had some catfish today, some fried catfish. I'm feeling good.
That's good. Cool.
I'm feeling good. It was a good old Sunday dinner, so I'm feeling good.
Nice.
That's all we need.
Yes, sir.
I enjoy that. I had some Popeyes for dinner. I did not have fried catfish. But I tried it about a week ago. It was not terrible. So
facing the wrong catfish, brother.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was bad. I said it was not terrible.
Nah, fried catfish is supposed to be good. If you answer anything other than good, then you're tasting the wrong catfish, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do live in Utah, so that might explain a little bit. Yeah,
explains it. Bro.
All right. Okay, boys. Let's get into this Sam Darnold news. Traded to the Panthers. I want to start with you, Trey. What did you think about this move? Kind of first reactions when you saw this go down on Monday?
I guess my first initial reactions were that I wasn't really surprised, because if you were paying attention, you know, to the Jets for the past couple of months, you sort of got the sense that they were going to move on. Douglas was the wise queen to remarry for anything going. So he's going to do that. When he probably selects Zach Wilson in a couple weeks now. But first, he had to offload Sam Darnold, and he did. And he got a pretty nice sum of draft compensation back from, too, for a quarterback that, you know, flashes some talent, but for the most part hasn't been all that good on the field when all is said and done. So my first reactions were I wasn't really that surprised. But like I said, when I saw the draft compensation that he got back for him, I applauded Joe Douglas. Got a pretty hefty sum of draft picks for a guy that's, you know, inconsistent at best. So hats off to Joe Douglas. Hats off to him.
Ryan, let me ask you this. Do you think that Sam Darnold, what we've seen from him so far, do you think it's a product of Sam Darnold being Sam Darnold, or do you think it's a product of kind of the situation he was in? That seems to be the two kind of schools of thought on him as a player right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything's not binary. But obviously, the situation he's been in has played a part. But like I tweeted about it a couple of days ago, everybody just keeps making this excuse. And it's like, okay, like tell me what is Sam Darnold's fault? Like tell me just one thing. Like give me one thing that he can control that – could have looked better, that would have made the Jets better, or made just him as a quarterback look a little better. Like, give me one thing, like footwork, I don't know, poise in the pocket, you know, I just something, but like nobody would give me anything. So I'm like, I feel like a lot of it is on him. Like, don't give, like, and that's not, you know, excusing the Jets, like the Jets did absolutely, they did just like the worst job you could do when you're drafting a quarterback. They did like whatever drives me nuts. Like, if you get a young quarterback, just OD him with talent. Like, don't give him any excuse to fail. And they just did the complete opposite. Like, they just they gave him every excuse. But still, it was like he's the same exact quarterback he was in his last year at USC. You know, he's just the same. Like, he did not improve one bit. You know, I mean, Justin Herbert, yes, the Chargers are talented, but I mean, if you paid attention to the Chargers this year, they were banged up, beat up just like the 49ers or whatever. But, you know, Justin Herbert, you were able to see him as the quarterback. Maybe they didn't win games, but you were able to see, okay, this guy's good. I mean, he's had, Donald had 3-4 years, and it's like, yes, sir, you'll see like a flash here, a flash there, but like, give me at least like a 2-3 game stretch where I'm like, okay, this guy, Donald, he's looking pretty good. I just hadn't seen it. He had like a couple, like in his rookie year, like towards the end where you're like, oh, okay, you know, I see something. But since then, man, it's just been bad. So I don't know. I was a Sam Darnold fan coming out. I heard the Saints were trying to bring him in, and I would have liked to bring him in probably for a cheaper cost. But I don't see the ceiling for him being like a top 10 quarterback. I think he's probably going to be around for a while. Ceiling being like a top 18-ish, 19-ish type quarterback, which is fine. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think the Jets are the reason he's not viewed as a franchise quarterback. I think that's absolutely on him. And maybe he could change that because he is talented. He has great arm, great mobility. You know, apparently is a good team worker. So, you know, he can change the narrative. It's up to him.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you ask, you know, what is Sam Darnold's fault? I think I'd point to, like, the completion percentage stuff because raw numbers-wise, his completion percentage over the past few years has looked like 57%, 61%, 59%. Now, if you look at his completion percent over expected or whatever they call it, it looks something around his completion percentage index, pardon me, which is a little bit more accurate when it comes to like completion percentage stuff. 100 is average. He is graded out at 78, 89, and 79 over, you know, his first 3 years. So he has very clear and obvious deficiencies with being an accurate passer. And to me, you can't blame that a ton on surrounding talent. If you're missing your wide receivers, then that's not on your wide receivers. That's on you. So I would say that's what I would point to personally. But I'm of the opinion that a new situation might help him out because I think I come down about the same place as you do. I don't really see like top 10 quarterback when I watch him, but I mean, he has made some impressive throws over his career. I mean, but most quarterbacks do. To play in the NFL, you have to be able to make at least like one or two wide open, like, elite level throws, like the throw Zach Wilson or Justin Fields made at their pro days. Like you have to be able to do that to play in the NFL at a starter level. Like everyone can do that. Like Drew Lock can do that. I would say like he hasn't shown it in a game, but like if you gave him a wide open field and made him do that,
if you scripted it out all week and everything came together on the first play, everything looked exactly right. Every single quarterback in the NFL can make like, whoa, what a nice throw, catch, touchdown. Wow. Everyone. Like, you know, maybe, my poor 2020 Drew Brees, maybe he couldn't, but you know, any other year he can do it.
Yeah, for sure. That said, I think Matt Rhule's offense is a nice change of pace. I mean, they lost Curtis Samuel this offseason, which, you know, I was not a huge fan of him, of them letting him walk, but I mean, I guess they had to.
I don't get it.
That said, I mean, DJ Moore is just one of the best wide receivers, you know, in the league, I would say. He was a Pro Bowler last year and should continue in that conversation. They added David Moore, who is a nice, like, fourth option. They still need to probably draft someone, and they have Robbie Anderson, who played really, really well last year.
That in its own, Robbie Anderson getting away from the Jets, from Adam Gase, from Sam Darnold. I mean, he played with Teddy Bridgewater, who is not, like, you know, you know, some top echelon quarterback either, but Robert Anderson had, you know, his one of his career years, you know? I mean, so
yeah,
it just shows you, you know, it's just not all on the organization sometimes, but it is interesting with Donald because it's like the organization was so bad. Like, it's so bad. So it's really hard to really see clearly what whose blame is what, you know what I'm saying? Because it was that bad. The Jets were horrible. Like, I can't even understand how horrible they were.
We can pin. I mean, if everything in the world was fair, I think I would want to pin all the blame on Adam Gase, just because you know how bad he was.
Yeah,
Eric knows how I feel about that.
He deserves it. Like, Adam Gase deserves it.
and I think Sam. I don't think Sam Darnold is some crazy elite level quarterback. But I think at some point we have to look back and say Adam Gase was probably one of the biggest reasons why Sam Darnold was so up and down as he was. And it was more down and up. There was so much more down than up with Sam Darnold, to the point where people thought that he was just simply bad. He had the flashes, but most of the other times he would just have the weird throws, the turnovers, all that negative stuff. So I think we have to at some point, you know, sit back and say, okay, maybe Sam Darnold isn't horrible, like free agent, like some sort of, you know, backup, future backup, whatever it is. Like, we can't say maybe he's like, we can't say that he's like absolutely terrible, but we have to look back and, you know, blame Adam Gase for, you know, all the troubles that he caused Sam Darnold, you know, during his time in New York.
And look, he's going to get a chance because, I mean, the fact is he has good pedigree. A lot of people expected him to go number one overall in that draft. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, you know, and a lot of those GMs still probably have like a little love for Sam Darnold. And I like, even me as a fan, as someone who liked him coming out, I was like, you know, you still kind of squint and be like, there's got to still be something in there, you know?
Yeah, there's something. There's still something there, man.
Yeah. So, you know, he's going to get his chance. It's completely up to him. Like, just to, like, man, just don't. Don't let the organization decide for you, man. Go if you're not getting good coaching in the building, man, go hire freaking John Beck or, I don't know, Jordan Palmer or whoever's, you know, Tom House or whatever. Like, just do whatever you got to do just to look good doing you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm shocked more quarterbacks don't do that. I mean, go like the Josh Allen route. Because if you go back to like last offseason and the discourse surrounding him, like, the one thing people kind of pointed at through the offseason is, oh, he went to, like, Jordan Palmer. And, like, apparently, like, that worked. Like, that 100% worked. Like, I don't understand why more of these quarterbacks don't, like, go outside the building and go to these kind of guru guys on mechanic stuff.
And it's really needed because, you know, Sean Payton complains about it all the time. You just – don't have time with the players like you used to during the offseason. Like, you can't even talk to the player until like April. And then once you get them in the building, you still can't like even really work with them until like May. So, you know, they just don't have the time with the team to work with them. So it's really important that they work with these QB whisperers or gurus or whatever, just to get all the fundamentals together as far as, you know, accuracy, footwork, timing, all that stuff. Like, Daniel Jones going to work out with his wide receivers in the desert or something like that is like big deal, man. Like, you got to get better, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about that. Or shift the conversation now more to a broader view of the NFC South, and let's stick on the Panthers. To me, they are one of the most interesting teams in the league because – I personally think that last year, the defense down the stretch kind of got it together. They really struggled at the beginning of the year. They were chock full of rookies. But down the stretch, I mean, they did not look bad. Yetur Gross-Matos kind of came into his own. I mean, Brian Burns remains a really good player, in my opinion. Troy Pride Jr. kind of stepped up as a bit of a revelation at corner. And then you look at what they do this offseason, and they take that young defense and they add, you know, Denzel Perryman, Hassan Reddick, AJ Boye. Now, none of those guys you know, are all stars, I would say. I mean, you could maybe argue Hassan Reddick, but he hasn't done a ton. He's been kind of inconsistent throughout his career. But you add those three guys to the mix, and you look at the Panthers' defense, and you think, like, this is like a varied defense that looks like it has a little bit of experience, has a little bit of youth. And you just look at what the offense last year was able to do with Teddy Bridgewater, who has limitations. And then you say, okay, well, let's see what Sam Darnold can do in this. Who, I mean, I would argue Sam Darnold, while not the better quarterback, has fewer limitations than Teddy Bridgewater does.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I just don't think that they're a terrible roster. And I think that they might be one of, you know, the better rosters in the division.
Yeah. I mean, they're getting there. They still have a little work to do. Like you said, defensively, they are improving. I thought they did improve down the stretch. I mean, they drafted all defense last year. I can't remember that pass rusher name. I think they let him go. I was surprised they let him go. But yeah, they are a team that I think is like a year away. Just not even looking at the quarterback, just the team itself. They're like a year away from just like being really good on both sides of the ball, as far as talent wise. I think I like, you know, Jeremy Chinn. I thought he was good. What's my guy, the defensive tackle they drafted last year? Brooks, was it Derrick Brooks? Not Derrick Brooks. Derrick Brown?
Yes, Derrick Brown.
Yeah. I thought he had good snaps. I don't know how he did down the stretch, but I remember early in the season, well, mid-season, he had some good snaps. I remember when he played the Saints. So there's, you know, like just, you know, like if you're buying stock, like, you know, now's the time to buy. Like it's just low. It's low. Nobody's really thinking about them. This would be a good time to buy because they have, you can see the potential to grow for them, especially offensively. Joe Brady, he was in his first year as a full-time play caller in the NFL. So he's going to have a year under his belt just to kind of fine-tune things to, you know, just to improve as a coach. And I like Matt Rhule. I think Matt Rhule, you know, I think he has a pretty much good understanding of what they do, and they have an owner who, you know, who's apparently who's shown, you know, that they're aggressive. They're going to go and try to get what they can get. They tried to do in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes until that just went, oof. Ugh, can't even talk on that. But they wanted that, you know, couldn't get that. I'm sure they, I think they were in the Russell Wilson. I think they at least, you know, knocked on the door and said, hey, you know, anything going on? Nothing going on there. When they had Sam Darnold, they locked that down. They're probably still not over. I don't think Sam Darnold is like penciled in. I know they're getting rid of Teddy Bridgewater. I think they're going to try to bring someone else in. Just try to figure it out. I mean, and they're picking eight. Sure, they might move. But if not, you know, who knows who will be there at eight. You know, it's looking like three QBs will be off the board by then. But if Justin Field is there, or if, you know, Trey Lance is there, you know, or if, you know, San Francisco is bullshitting about Mac Jones, maybe Mac Jones is there. I don't know. You know, maybe they take a rookie. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see, you know, how that plays out with the Panthers. Trey, in door number two are the Atlanta Falcons. And I want to bring you in on this because their new head coach came from the Titans. And you know, from the moves the Falcons have made this offseason, Trey, what are you most interested by? Like, what kind of fits the Arthur Smith scheme? What doesn't? Like, how do you see this team coming together? And what ultimately, what do you see them doing with that fourth pick?
It's I think, in terms of offensive production for year one in Atlanta under Arthur Smith, I don't think it's going to be at the level that you saw, you know, during 2020 with Tennessee, simply because is that he just doesn't have the roster around him that he did in Tennessee. I mean, he employs the power run game. The Falcons don't have Derrick Henry, but aside from that, they don't have a back that fits the power run scheme that Arthur Smith wants to employ. Now, they do have Julio Jones, excuse me, they have Calvin Ridley, and Hayden Hurts is a nice tight end that they have. So they won't be horrible in offense, but I think the passing offense will probably be the bigger story in the first year, you know, under Arthur Smith, simply because it's that, you know, they have the weapons in the passing game, and the running game might be a little lacking in terms of impact, or in the way that Arthur Smith wants the run game to impact, you know, while he's there in Atlanta. Now, at the fourth pick, and this is where, you know, I've seen so many people say the draft starts at four with Atlanta, and I believe that, simply because nobody knows, you know, what they're going to do. They could go quarterback. I mean, they could select their quarterback of the future, Matt Ryan's 36. They can go Trey Lance. They can go Justin Fields. If Mac Jones falls, they can go Mac Jones. So it'll be interesting to see where they go at four. I ultimately think they'll trade down. Well, I would have said that a couple weeks ago had, you know, the whole quarterback, you know, mess with San Francisco didn't go down. But I don't know what they're going to do it for. It's nobody knows, actually. So
nobody knows.
We'll probably just have to wait until April 28th, the night of the draft, to see what goes down, because nobody in their right mind knows what they're going to do at 28 or at 4. I don't even think the Falcons know what they're going to do at 4. I seriously don't think the Falcons know what they're going to do at 4. So
interesting. We'll just have to
see. It'll be interesting nonetheless, though, because they're in a really, really interesting spot in the draft. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like both the Broncos and the Patriots are pretty interested in trading into that spot.
Really?
So from what I've seen from like PFF stuff,
Broncos will make a lot of sense too.
So, well, Patriots would too. I mean, both those teams would. I guess you said one thing in there that like totally caught me off guard. I had no idea Matt Ryan was 36. Like, I just feel
I believe he's 36. I would have to look.
He should be. It'd be 37 when the season starts, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Really? Okay, yeah, he's 36, man. He's old, dude.
All right. Oh, it's 35, but it'll be 36 when the season starts.
Okay.
I think it's what you meant to say. But, man, that's pretty old. And, you know, I wonder if he's one of these guys where the arm falls off a little bit. Seems like with the this generation of those guys, you know, it's not as precipitous because of all the like work they put in on their bodies, but I don't know. I also kind of wonder, you know, what the Falcons are going to do defensively, because offense was not the reason they had the number four pick last year. I mean,
no,
they were a good offensive team, but they lost a lot of shootouts, and
they need a pass rusher bad.
That's interesting. Man. And I think the thing they need more than a pass rusher too is they need a Julio Jones replacement, because at this point, like, he cannot be counted on to stay healthy. When's the last time Julio Jones played a full season?
It's been a while.
I don't know. Even when he plays a full season, he's like in and out the game.
Right. Like, he's good, obviously. He's still got it, but, like, he is an unreliable weapon. Like, it just would not shock me if they stuck there and ended up going after, like, a Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase or whoever they want to go after there.
That could be what they're going to do. I mean, they can get Kyle Pitts.
They can.
I could just see him in Atlanta. I don't know. I could see it. I think it would be a dumb decision. Look, it's up to them what they feel about the quarterbacks. But, like, man, I'm sorry. With Trey Lance there, bro, I am taking him and not thinking about it. Like, if you look at their cap situation, like, I think if I'm not mistaken, Matt Ryan is, like, $40 million against the cap next year or something. Like, it's something crazy. It's like I would go get Trey Lance and set my franchise up for the next 10 years and, you know, and get this thing right. You start fresh. You got a new head coach. You got a new GM, former Saints pro football scouting director at Tony Finat. Like, just go start fresh and get this thing going. But, you know, I know Arthur Blank, he really loves Matt Ryan. Kind of feel Matt Ryan gets snubbed a little bit, and he probably does. So I think they're going to try one last push and try to get, you know, squeeze another 2-3 years out of Matt Ryan to see if they can get another push to the Super Bowl. And I could just see them go and get Kyle Pitts. Maybe Jamar Chase, because they do like LSU players there too. And plus he's just, you know, Jamar Chase is just a stud. So, I mean, it would make, but I mean, you know, they got Ridley, you know, Julio Jones, yes, he's limping in, but, you know, if he's healthy, you know, it's a great 1-2 punch. They signed Mike Davis, you know, who's a, you know, it's a solid running back. I think he'll give them more than Todd Gurley, but they just have, looks like they have two running backs that just run hard, like run hard type running backs. They really, like Matt Bryan was always at his best, just facing him twice a year. He was always at his best when they had just a ferocious run game, back when they had Mike Turner, or back when they had, you know, healthy Josh, not Josh Freeman, Devontae Freeman, yeah. Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. When they had that 1-2 punch with Kyle Shanahan, good God. Like, let me tell you something. The Saints have owned the Matt Ryan-led Falcons pretty much since 2006, consistently. But when Kyle Shanahan was there, man, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, the Saints defense was garbage. That was those 79 years where the Saints defense were just like worst in history and shit. But still, it was like they just ran through the Saints like it was just nothing. It was just like, I mean, that team that went to the Super Bowl was so good offensively. It's kind of forgotten because of the whole 28-3 thing. But I even got to remind Saints fans about it, because Saints fans like to clown about 28-3. But I'm like, man, that offense was like up there in history. Like, that offense put up so much points at points and yards so easily. And I was so happy when Kyle Shanahan just left and went to 49. I was like, man, just please get the hell out of here, bro. I don't want to see you ever again. Because he had the right quarterback. He had the right quarterback, and he had the right, you know, weapons to just dial up anything you want to dial up.
Sure did.
Except for in the fourth quarter Super Bowl.
Jeez. Falcons fan PTSD. Run the football, bro. Gosh, man.
All right. As we laugh at the misfortune of Atlanta, let's turn our eyes to the Bayou and NOLA, as they say. They are a team that just continues to maneuver around the salary cap.
I don't know how.
I mean, they kept PJ Williams. They kept Marcus Williams, which I was slightly shocked by that they kept Marcus Williams. The fact they franchised him, tagged him too. I don't know. Should I have been surprised by that, Ryan? I don't know. I just see so many negative things about Marcus Williams on Saints Twitter almost constantly that I'm just very surprised. But I mean, Saints Twitter doesn't obviously, you know, move the front office decisions. No. But, you know, Marcus Williams, he played better last year, but I would not say I would not have franchise tagged him personally.
Oh, no. I was ecstatic when they franchise tagged.
Oh, okay.
I was surprised they did it, because obviously the cap with me, we were $100 million over the cap. So I was like, you know, good luck trying to franchise somebody, because that's like a $10 million seller cap hit, you know. But they were able to do it. I was ecstatic, because the big question going into this offseason was, will they try to keep Trey Henderson, who had a breakout season last year with like 13 sacks, 13 and a half sacks, or will they try to keep Marcus Williams? Before this season, it was kind of thought, well, Marcus Williams, he's probably going to be, they're not going to pay him. Because he's been, like, I know the Minnesota Miracle, that's what every other NFL remembers, but he's been a good free safety for the Saints. Like, he's a big reason the Saints defense has been, like, one of the top, you know, 10-ish defenses in the league for the past 4 years, because they've just been really good on the back end, and he's been like a main part. Like, he's been that free safety. He plays deep, and you rarely saw teams just let it fly on the Saints deep. He's just rock solid, you know, rock solid in that area. And last year, he really just turned it up a notch, and he was just like, he just didn't let balls get behind him. Like, he just, he played his position. You know what I'm saying? He played the free safety. You know, he had, what, 3 or 4 picks. He doesn't, you know, he gets picks. If you look at all his picks, yeah, he's gotten plenty of picks over the years. But, you know, he just probably didn't get the flashier picks that you would like to see. But, I mean, it's safe. People who watch football, like, pretty much know, like, Marcus Williams, like, Saints needed to try to figure out a way to keep him. You don't want that hole, you know. But at least I was still kind of thinking like they might let him go because at the end of the day, it is free safety. Right. So I'm not saying it's an easy position to replace, but you could go out and find a safety. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I was just kind of – but, you know, the franchise tag is like $10 million. It's not, like, super expensive. They're going to try to extend him long-term at some point this offseason. I was ecstatic to keep him. And then they really didn't do much else because they just didn't have the money. Like, they lost a bunch of guys. They signed one of your Denver Broncos. Is it Stan, Nick Verrett, tight end?
Yeah, Nick Vanette.
Vanette, yeah. Signed him. They signed who else did they sign? I can't even remember. Let me look it up.
They signed I've got it up here. They signed this offseason Ty Montgomery. He was an outside guy. Alex Harmon was on the roster before.
They brought Jameis Winston back.
Nothing of note outside of kind of what we've already mentioned. It's all
they signed a fullback.
Yeah,
they signed the Panthers fullback.
Yeah,
that was the big signing. Like,
yeah,
fullback baby. But they lost. You know, they lost Emmanuel Sanders, Jared Cook, Josh Hill.
Yeah,
Nick Eason, who was a real good offensive lineman for him. Michael Burton, fullback. Trey Hendrickson, he got paid by the Jets. Sheldon Rankins, they let him go. So, you know, there's some talent left, man. You know, it's a interesting offseason for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the defense is still very good, though.
Janoris Jenkins. That was the big loss.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the surprise loss.
Yes.
Because he played really well last year.
He ended up on your Titans, correct, Ray? That's where he ended up?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah. He played really well, you know.
He did play well last year.
There was some stretches he was better than Lattimore as far as just locking down this guy, but you know he really didn't have only knock I would give him is he had some times where he'd get caught by the refs, you know, getting handsy, and they tend to do that a lot with the Saints. But other than that, I mean, he was rock solid, man. So that's like the biggest hole for the Saints going into this draft. Like,
right.
They don't have anyone at left cornerback.
Yeah, yeah. Jenkins a handsy guy anyways, too, so.
Yeah, yeah, he is. It's just, this comes with the game, like, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, you know, the Bucs bring everyone back. It's kind of a boring offseason, but, you know, Trey, do you think this works out for them? Like, everyone will say, oh, they should be favorites again. But, you know, as a lot of people have pointed out, you know, it's hard to win back-to-back. And, you know, even if you bring all that talent back, like, what exactly do you think they kind of have to do in this draft to make sure things end up staying that way?
Man. Honestly, when I look at the Buccaneers roster, I don't see like one huge glaring hole. Quarterback's field, running back is field, wide receivers are obviously field. The offensive line is good, so is the depth there. The corner group is good. The safety group is good. The linebacker group is good. I mean, the defensive line is good. The entire roster is really good. I think the only gripe I would probably have, you know, about that roster, though, is the fact that moving forward, you know, as they try to, you know, sustain the Super Bowl window, they don't have a lot of young, good depth, you know, at interior defensive line aside from Vita Vea. You know, he's obviously one of the best nose tackles in the NFL, but aside from him, Ndamukong Suh is there, and he was good in his role, but he's older. And so they could, you know, stand to add a young guy in the draft, you know, at the back end of the first round, maybe Christian Barmore. He would be a real good pick for the Buccaneers at the end of the first round. So I think that's the only gripe I would probably have about the Buccaneers. But moving forward, and, you know, in terms of, you know, them trying to win back to back, I think, you know, you can see, you can look at Tom Brady and say, you can go back to back. You look at Tom Brady, he has all the experience, you know, winning all these rings, going all these Super Bowls. That's cool and all, but the Buccaneers last year, you know, in 2020, they were running, they had a lot of inconsistency through the first 2 months of the season. They were so up and down, but then that final month of the season, they turned it up, you know, went through the playoffs, you know, and, you know, got to the Super Bowl and won it. So I think the biggest thing with them is that they have to be much more consistent, you know, from start to finish. You know, from week one, you know, until they, you know, I get until they potentially get back to the Super Bowl, you know, if that even happens. So they have to be much more consistent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive side of the ball had to make consistencies through the first 2 months of the season before they finally shaping everything all up. So I think that's the only thing I would have, you know, in terms of concerns for them, you know, for their potential back-to-back Super or back-to-back sort of run. So that's the only concern I have. I really can't think of anything else unless you guys can.
Ryan, anything?
No. I mean, their only enemy right now is age, time. Yeah. You know, Tom Brady, he seems ageless, but he'll be a year older. Gronk's a year older. JPP's a year older. Mm-hmm. Sue is a year older. But they do have young – I mean, they have drafted – pretty well the past couple of years. They got a young secondary that should be better. Love Antoine Winfield. Love the cornerback. He really improved. You know, the linebackers, Levante David, he's going to be a little older, but he, you know, he still looks outstanding. He's like one of my favorite players in the NFL. Mike, the wide receiver, their wide receivers are, you know, still at prime age. It's like they shouldn't have a problem. They're going to be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The only way you beat the Saints beat them twice last year in the regular season, and you beat them by getting pressure on Tom Brady. Newsflash, mm-hmm. Like breaking news. You know what I'm saying? Like that's how you beat them. Immediate front four pressure, and they built such a good offensive line, but for some reason the Saints were able to affect that last year, at least not until the playoffs, where they really just they solidified, and they just, you know, Tom Brady was a mountain. And even Tom Brady, he didn't even play great in the playoffs. If you just go and mm-hmm. watch, like just look at the numbers and just, you know, he played good enough. He played good, yeah. You know, average, and made the correct throws when he needed to make them. So, you know, they're a good team, man. And so they're just going to run it back. It's hard. With the Saints, I remember when the Saints won the Super Bowl in 2009, then in 2010, they brought everybody back. And we were like, yeah, we're going to repeat this and that. Man, that shit is hard, man. Like, next thing you know, we playing the 7-9 Seahawks, and Marshawn Lynch is doing the beast mode run that gets replayed on TV, you know, from here until the end of time. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, it's hard to repeat, man, but I mean, shit, Tom Brady, how many damn Super Bowls he got, man? So it's like they got the one quarterback on their team where it's like, shit, who knows? It wouldn't surprise me if they did, but I hope not, man. I can't deal with that again. And then one thing to think about is, you know, I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, this COVID thing keeps getting better and we're going to have, you know, full stadiums next year.
Yeah,
that's just going to change things because they were like a road team this year, which didn't matter because there weren't any fans, but, you know, who knows how it's going to affect teams this year, just having full stadiums back then, man, to help with the pass rush, to help the defense out and all that stuff, the snap counts and all that. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we will. We'll see. That's interesting. All right, well, let's get out of here. But before we do, Ryan, just quickly lightning round, one question for you here. You've been watching the NFL offseason, obviously. What's one team you're intrigued by going into the draft that we haven't talked about today?
one team I'm intrigued by going into the draft. I'll say the Bengals. Because that's just a team I've just been thinking about lately because, you know, everybody wants them to draft an offensive lineman at five. And it makes complete sense if you watch the Bengals. I mean, they just beat up on poor Joe Burrow. And for them to have a chance, it's like, don't go to Sam Darnold, right? But, you know, learn from the Jets. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, is offensive tackle what they need? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they do need like a big time playmaker. I just think the Bengals are so interesting because their owner notoriously doesn't like to spin big in free agency. He doesn't really go all out for his team. So it's just one of those teams that I'm just interested in because you got the number one overall pick last year. You got this, Heisman winning quarterback. And, you know, here's your chance. And I just want to see what they're going to do because right now I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I don't believe it.
All right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Bengals pull off. I do think that that's a valid point. I think they might be dumb and not draft an offensive lineman, but it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Well, thanks, Ryan, so much for joining us. It's always a blast to have you on, and we got through this show, Trey, kept it short. I like to see that. We like to see that here. We'll be back midweek. I may not be here, but Trey, we are definitely going to have someone on. We wanted to do some draft previews for positions that are kind of interesting in this year's draft. So Trey's going to talk with one of his buddies who knows a ton about offensive tackle and edge rushers. And that'll come out at some point midweek. And then next week we will have our four-person mock draft, which will be an interesting experiment in me running the show as the point guard. So we will see how that all goes. But until then, thank you very much for joining us. Ryan, if you just want to give yourself some plugs really quick, we can get out of here.
Yeah, man, just check out our podcast if you're interested. Hashtag Saints Twitter podcast. It's everywhere podcasts are. Obviously, it's Saints focused, but we do other episodes with all kinds of subjects. The universe, Star Wars, anything, like all kinds of stuff. So just check it out.
Do
you can follow me at that boy Wolf.
Do both of those things. They're very, very fun. They're very, very good. Ryan's very funny. He's also very knowledgeable. All-around great guy, Ryan. Thank you for joining us so much. Discount Bargain Bin Rick Ross, I appreciate your participation in this. So for Trey Watkins, Discount Bin Rick Ross, I'm Eric Jensen. Thank you very much for joining us on this episode of the End Zone Pod. We will see you next time.